Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Monday already, November 13th. It's busy, busy, busy. I love it. And it's that time of year where everyone's starting to think about being thankful, about being happy, about wondering what has just happened this whole last year. And it's like the time of, weirdly, mental assessments. We're always making assessments. And I realized that what we're thinking about and what most people are thinking about is what's missing before what actually happened that was really, really cool or really great or that might have, like, put a spotlight on your strengths to yourself. And then I thought, gosh, why is it so easy for us, and I mean easy, to, like, put ourselves down or take away from ourselves before we learn to give to ourselves? Like, why do we even do that? So I asked, of course I'm going to ask, and the easiest answer was that ego has a job, and the job is for us to overcome it. But for some reason, through the way we live, through advertising, through pressure, through stress, through all of that, we have found that ego is easier to live in than not to live in the world that we live in. Everything we focus is, do you feel this? Do you feel that? Do you have this yet? Do you have that yet? Do you make enough money? Will you ever make enough money? Will you ever lose enough weight? Would you ever feel like you're happy with how you look? And we're bombarded all day long with just buy, 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 new, new, new. And this has turned us into people who don't really stop and say, God, I feel good with what I have. I feel good with who I am. And all that's left in my life is this is something I want to do. And they do them. And they create and they grow. But we lost that. So I asked Christ and I said, but what happened to our self-trust? To our focus, to our self-will, to our motivation? Why do we feel so sad about stuff that did not happen yet in our lives? And why can't I focus on what's strongest in me? And how is it when we're not able to work towards what we believe is missing? And then we feel bad for not having it. Oh, I never get anything. Oh, this never works out for me. That's like for other people. I'm too quiet for that. I'm too this for that. I'm too, and fill in the blank. We've got the excuse buffet that's always waiting for us. So when I asked Christ, I said, you know, once in a while, something feels really big for me. Like it's too big for me to do. Somehow I think that. And then I'd be walking and I'd put it into perspective and I would say, oh, you know what, if I just start this today and I do this, then tomorrow I can do that and then let me see where that takes me. Because once you start to involve the energy of other people, things start changing. And you know how Christ talks to us through other people. I get home after having those thoughts and my son says to me, you know, Mom, this was somebody we knew, and they're always a naysayer. Oh, you can't do that. Well, that's going to cost too much money, and that's going to, you know, do this and do that. And I always, you know, kind of pick that up from that person. And he said to me, you know, Mom, when you hear conversations like that, they're a plug. And for some reason, the word plug resonated with me. And I felt calm, and then I smiled, and I go, oh, my God, that was you. That was Christ. He was saying it to me in my head, and it didn't sound the same. It didn't feel the same. But when I heard it coming at me, I thought, wow, I always forget, you know, that Christ talks to us through each other. God talks to us through each other. And it happens all the time. For some odd reason, Eric Hillis, when, you know, I get in touch with him, he'll throw out to me an idea that expands me, like maybe you might want to try this, maybe you might want to try that. And I listen to him. And he's like the unplug because he so quietly suggests things. And he's the least pushy person on earth. And, you know, when he told me, why don't you put this together as a not-for-profit, that was Christ talking through him. 15 years ago, I knew I had to do that. But I got so distracted with trying to make ends meet at the end of every month that my bigger thinking shrunk into survival. Even though I still did things, the bigger stuff I was waiting for mentally. And last week, we got the papers back from the state because we had to file with the state that we got our number. And so now we got to fill out a succession of other papers. So we're working on that, and the not-for-profit is alive. It's alive. But I had a plug. And now every time I think of what's missing, the first thing I'm asking myself is, what's the plug? Identify the plug. Because the minute we remove that plug, we are free to roam. We're free to do what we want to do. And I realized that God is talking to me through everybody around me. Because everyone in the group, everyone in my family, my friends, when you tell them or ask them or work with them or share with them, and everybody is on that level where we're thinking outside of fear, that's when God can talk to us. That's when we can hear each other. And it helps us focus on our strengths, because when people usually talk to each other, they will talk to each other from a position of strength. When we talk to ourselves alone, sometimes we don't even realize that we're not putting trust into ourselves. If anything, we might mistrust at some level our abilities. But when someone else says to you, just in a matter of fact, they're just walking by and they say, oh, you can do that. You've done that before. You do it. You go, oh, yeah, I did. The plug is gone. It's like the dam opens and the water comes through. But instead of saying, why am I missing this? Why don't I have this in my life? Why have I never had this in my life? Ask yourself, where's the plug? What's my plug? Why am I not doing this? Because I can, but why am I not doing it? It's usually an invisible friend that's in the way of you and what you want to do. And then you have Christ chime in, right? Just totally chiming in and saying, doesn't that feel right? And I said, yeah, that feels right. Thank you. And I always say, thank you for answering my question. Because dealing with that special feeling, that magical feeling of trust, opens your heart up to what God can do and to what you can do. And the combination of the two And I know you know it because we've all felt it at some point. We feel that feeling like we're in sync. We don't have fear of something not working out. We're just kind of more curious how it's going to look, how it's going to work out, why it's going to work out. And the stories of the trails, because once you tell one person, you've started to propel that energy. So then he comes in with the kicker. And he asked me a question. And he asked me, are you divested enough to take the next step? Now think about that. Are you divested enough to take the next step? He didn't ask me if I was invested enough. He asked me if I was divested. And I thought that was the oddest question of ever. And I'm like, I'm going to have to think about that one. But what he was really asking me was every time he gets close and my work gets bigger, I get divested of literally everything in my life. Everything, every material thing down to just having a place to live and eat. It's happened 3 times now. This is the 3rd round. And it scares me every time in the beginning, like crazy. I can't even tell you. Yet, he asked me if I was divested enough because there's one big thing I have to do. And once in a while, it's so big that I forget I have to do it. And it has to do with the non-for-profit that I got spoken to through Eric. And it happens with Thoddick telling me I have a plug and with everyone telling me whatever you need, I will help you. And so I have to go meet with someone and I have to get this now to the next step. And we have dates that we want our board of directors finalized by January 15th. We're having a donation dinner on February 3rd. We're already plugging in dates. We're already doing all of this. But now I have to get the board of directors, which was the place, another place I had another plug. And I, you know, really have to think out of the box here. But the reason he asked me, are you divested enough, is because that's when I get pushed the hardest. That survival instinct comes in. And you'd think by now I was used to it, but the irony of it all was last night, I had a coworker that I worked with at Nordstrom, and she was my manager, but she had a baby, and then she tried to go back, and it was just too hard, so she now is not working, and she's taking care of her baby. So we're talking about work. She said, you know, when we went back, our boss really missed you and was wishing you will come back. And I immediately said to her, I'll come back, because I knew I needed the money. And she's looking at me and she goes, after everything you just told me you're doing, how are you going to do both? And I said, I don't know, but I have to find a way. And she started laughing and she said, stick to one thing. And I thought, God, immediately I would have gone back and worked for Christmas, but I would not have met my goal of the board of directors or anything else. And I'm already going, and I'm like, and I have an office now, and I have 2 people working for me, and I'm like so happy and all of this. But, you know, God's constantly keeping us on track because we are human. We do think of obstacles, but we have to think past the obstacles and not stay in them. Because if we focus on what's missing and we forget our strengths, and, you know, I have a lot of strength. I'm running around all day. But at the same time, when something's big, I get this little weird tape that goes on in my head, you know, like, wow, but then if this happens, then you really have to do this next, and you have to do this next. And I realized what happens next is even scarier sometimes than doing what I'm doing. Because I know it will change the trajectory, I hope that's the right word, trajectory of my life. And I'm ready for it. But the change and doing something different and going to the next step and to the next level is exciting, exhilarating, and oh my God, at the same time. But if we don't get those feelings, we'll never cross the line. And it's funny because in this time, in any time, I realized that we can find such great excuses. I want to say great convincing excuses. And then God comes in like this little whisper, like not as loud as your excuses. Not as scary as your excuses. Just comes rolling right in, quietly. And gives you this little answer through someone who's loving enough to just pay attention to what you said and talk back to you and respond to you. But God is alive and well. That energy, to exchange energy with God, to have a conversation with God. What happens to you when that happens is you see your excuses. Even if they've been built in for a lifetime, you will see them. They'll be like neon lights. You'll be like, oh, there I go. That's the one that kept me from pushing myself over that threshold. And I have to forewarn you that when you start to focus on your strengths and not what's missing in your world, when you start to do that, you're going to feel this like weird empty space that used to be filled with your excuses. And it might feel really comfortable to go back and live in that excuse mode because that's what you're used to. But let it feel empty and tell yourself, and I'm telling you this so you can catch it when it happens. And remind yourself that in that time, you know what? I'm going to feel empty. A little bit. And it's going to feel weird, but whatever goes back in there, I am going to put it in. I'm going to decide what goes into what I think about. I'm not going to just grab anything that walks by and say, that's okay, that I'm not ready today. When I have the time, I have the energy, and I have the will, and all I have to do is set it into motion. You will not believe the difference in how you feel. It'll surprise you. If you take whatever's plugging you up and do it first thing that day, the entire day will be a different day than if you say, I'll do it later. Because now you're pacifying yourself, right? You know you're going to do it, but you put it off, and you kind of do all these other things, and you keep yourself busy. You still look busy. You still look like you're doing something, but you're not doing the hardest thing first. And you know what happens? As the day goes on, you get more and more distracted, and then it's easier to say, I'll do it tomorrow morning. Hence the road of what is missing. The plug is alive and well. It's securely put in, and nobody's doing anything to remove it. But for some reason, the word plug stuck with me because it completely described. And thank God, you know, sometimes we think, why are people in our lives? And I'm so thankful for our friend. Down to the point where I told him, I said, you know, look at what you showed me. by pushing my buttons. God, thank you. Because you don't realize that everybody has a role. And yeah, he does have a more what's missing instead of what's available, but he works towards filling the gaps, and I really realized that. And I thought, he's doing well in his life. He's happy in his life. He just operates from that mode. But when I'm in the excuse buffet mode, that doesn't look very positive. But when I'm in the working mode, what do I see now? The working part. Look around you at the people who are in your life. People who say, I can't, I have children. And I look at them and say, they're the biggest motivator. Because when you have children, you have to wake up. You don't have a choice of how your day's going to run. Usually, you have to get them dressed, get them out. You still do their wash. You make sure meals are prepared. Your day is already, you've got to work around all of that. And when you work around all of that, you're actually more active mentally, and you will start putting stuff into play. Because you'll do it in between in the time that you have. There is no such thing as too little time in anybody's day. Even the busiest of day will give you a moment to start or to give it 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Sometimes it's as much as sending out an email or making one phone call or deciding where you're going to go when you have the time and to make a date. Like, okay, tomorrow between 1 and 3, I will have time to go and do this. All of our thoughts that we know are our constant thoughts. We think about it a lot. We know we want to do it. When we add action to thoughts, that's creation. That's where we create. I've been getting this bug in me to paint. And I was walking and I go, come on now. After all of this, when am I going to have time to do that? But I really feel like it. It's like colors. All I keep seeing is colors in my head and I want to mix them and these combinations. And I can't get the combinations out of my mind. So my reward is when I set this all up, that I get to do that. That I get to do that. That's my gift. Instead of when will I have time and how am I going to do this? And because that would have been my normal mode. But I keep seeing these color combinations and I love them. One of them is like a pink and a brown, and I can't get it out of my head. I don't know what it's going to come out to, but I really love that color combination, and it's in there, and blue and green, and I just can't stop. So that's my reward. And I thought, wow, you know, that actually is working. So I'm testing my brain. I'm pushing my brain past the plugged thoughts, which makes what was plugged something I've already done, but time will unveil it. We have so much we could work with in our minds. There's so much space to play games and see how we can just push ourselves over to this side where we work best instead of living in the part that keeps us or holds us back. Our souls are literally the most infinite, they are the most infinite part of Earth. Not of just us, of Earth. Everything on Earth is meant to stay here except for your soul. Think about that. everything that you see around you, nothing's going with you, not even your body. Just your soul. So while you're here, have fun with it. Enjoy what it can do. Because it's the only thing that can do anything in your life. And it's what you're going to take with you. So fill it with the beauty. Fill it with your strength. Fill it with what you know you are capable of. The whole reason I saw Christ in the first place was because we got to a point where we were going home on mute. We weren't even accessing our soul. We weren't even paying attention to our soul. It got to the point in our history 15 years ago, now we'll be 16 years in April, where if we even talked about, used the word soul, we were put in this, oh, you're one of those, spiritual category. Maybe not even spiritual, just you're one of those. And in the workplace or anywhere, no one talked about feelings, about personal stuff, about, you know, dreams. They were like, you'd say the word dream and they'd, oh, yeah, well, and the word pipe dream would come up. Now people are saying, try. Hey, what's your gift? Did anyone ever talk about a gift 15 years ago? Not really. Not unless it was like a literal prodigy. And through a kid, but if an adult did it, we'd be like, oh, be realistic. You're not going to be able to make it like that. It's how we talk to each other. But everything around you, I don't care what it is that you have that you can see within your eyes distance, is staying here. Including our bodies. That just is so huge to think, because now it puts focus on the invisible yet most tangible part of us, and that is the extent of our souls. Our souls, every single one of us, stems right back to God. We came from Him, and we will go back to Him. And the help we're getting from Christ, the words of gentle strength, of knowing that we are more than what we can see, of not allowing anyone to own the soul because God Himself doesn't own our souls, and let us know we have free will. We don't really know that until we've used our free will. And people say, yeah, but the government's a... Knock it down. You have no control over that. What you do have control of, walking through the trail of life, all the ways life does work, all the ways life offers us to work, they're there. And we all have the ability to find them. Identify your plugs. Ask yourself why you needed a plug. Ask yourself how it got there. Which fear, which doubt, which worry, who controlled you, who guilted you into feeling good about yourself or your life? If it was a person, give it back to them. It was theirs. You only borrowed their stuff. You don't need it anymore. Allow it to go back. Say, I can give this back to you now. I no longer need it as an excuse. Or I can release this now. I no longer need it to stop me. I don't need that fear anymore. What's my plug is today's question. You guys, the show is over. It feels so fast. I will see you tomorrow. I love you so very much. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's daily.